Receive the fruit of our lips by saying thank you. And I know there are times when we really can't even express it, but it's in our heart. And you know our hearts. So as we come now to look at your word, we pray that your spirit would truly speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So I'm sure that you all have plans for Thanksgiving. Does anybody have no plans for Thanksgiving? You know, and if you had no plans, that's fine. But you can have no plans and still be thankful. True. So when we think about Thanksgiving, I think most of us think back to 1621, right? What happened in 1621? Pilgrims had that great Thanksgiving feast at the end of a very difficult year. Remember, they came over from England, and long trip. A lot of them died on the trip. A lot of them died through the first year. But when they got to the end of that year, at the end of, in November, after the harvest, they decided that they needed to give thanks to God for his provision and even through all of that. So in 1621, we kind of mark our Thanksgiving beginnings. Then in 1789, in the first year of George Washington's presidency, he also declared a day of Thanksgiving. And he said part of it was, quote, "Now therefore I do recommend and assign Thursday the 26th day of November next to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of the great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or will be. And that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation." So we're giving, they're recognizing that who we are and what we have is because of God. So let's take a day off or take a day set aside to give thanks to him. Then in 1863, this is the one that amazes me, because in the middle of the Civil War, where we were killing each other, Abraham Lincoln set aside Thanksgiving Day as a national holiday. And his declaration says, quote, "As a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the aspirations justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience commend to his tender care all those who will become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and frequently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purpose to fully enjoy of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union." So Abraham Lincoln is giving us a declaration in a time of great difficulty, praying to God for his help, which is also another reason to have Thanksgiving. We can have Thanksgiving and be very thankful after things have gone well at the end of the harvest. It's no accident it's at the end of the harvest. We can be thankful to God for what he's done in the past and how he's taken care of us, and with a hope that he's going to continue that in the future. And we can be thankful for God that he is still providentially in control, even in the midst of great difficulty, like the Civil War. And then, on Thursday, November 24th, 2022, which is Thursday, many will be, like the pilgrims, gathering to give thanks for a harvest. Gathering to give thanks as they think back of maybe the previous year, of difficulties God has brought them through, of how he has provided and how, yes, life may not be all that we want it to be, but we are thankful. So we'll find ourselves like the pilgrims being thankful for all of it. Some will be thankful, like George Washington, just thinking about the fact that I'm still here shows that God loves me. Some of us will be thankful, like even we may be find ourselves in the midst, like a civil war, where there are difficulties in our life. Huge difficulties, insurmountable things, and we're asking God to help, and we're thankful that He is there to ask. And then some, for Thanksgiving, will be a time of family. It's awesome. Time of feasting, doubly awesome. Time of football, I guess that could be debatable. A time to prepare for the next shopping day, which is Black Friday. I've never gone shopping on Black Friday. Or, as I read, for some it's just another Thursday. So however you look at Thanksgiving, and as I say, we go back to 1621, but that is not when Thanksgiving began. As a holiday even. If you go some 3,000 years before 1621, puts you around 1406 BC. And what we read is that as the children of Israel had come out of Egypt and were about to go into the promised land, God gave them all these instructions, and one of those was basically for a Thanksgiving feast. So 3,000 years before the pilgrims got here, and before we're celebrating that longer, God said it's important for you to set aside a time to celebrate, remember, and thank me. And that's what we want to see this morning. So go all the way back to Deuteronomy chapter 16. We are studying the book of Deuteronomy, which I have greatly enjoyed. I trust you have. And good Lord willing, we will get eventually to chapter 16, where God is going to be laying out feasts and festivals that all have a purpose. And as you think about that, you will think, well, God, why are you doing this? Well, we'll see why He's doing this one. And I just love it because God knows us. God knows us better than we know ourselves. God, you know, we like to think things about us that we don't like. We kind of push in the back. Well, God knows it all. And so I'm so thankful that He has designed some things to help us with our inadequacies and our propensities to get really off track. And then we suffer greatly. So He's setting up these feasts and festivals as they go into the promised land. Very important. And so notice Deuteronomy 16, verse 13. He says, "You shall celebrate." Now mark that word, how often that comes up. I might as well tell you, the Hebrew word means to dance, to reel, to be giddy. I mean, this is to be a happy time. You should not have a sour face at Thanksgiving, even if the turkey is not cooked right. Or I can tell you a story, because those parts of my relatives are no longer around, but we were at my uncle's house for Thanksgiving once, and we're waiting for the turkey be done, and we're checking the turkey, and it's not done. And then we realized she forgot to turn on the oven. So that was like, I mean, yeah, she was not the greatest cook, but it just forgot. And so I don't know what we did. I think we just turned it on and waited. I mean, and so lunch turned into like breakfast the next day almost. But So still we had a good time. That was my point. We were still celebrating. We were together. You know, we started playing games. I was young, so I think we were outside running around the yard. But it should be a time of celebration. Verse 13, "You shall celebrate the Feast of Booths." 7 days. See, we got one day. They had 7 days. Actually, eight. 7 days after you have gathered in from your threshing floor in your wine vat, you shall rejoice in the feast. You and your son and your daughter and your male and female servants and the Levite and the stranger and the orphan and the widow who are in your towns. 7 days you shall celebrate a feast of the Lord your God in the place where the Lord chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hands, so that you will be altogether joyful. God's going to bless you. You come at the end when you got the harvest in and you're to have this 7-day feast. celebrating what he has given you. And then other information is given to us, the same feast in Leviticus chapter 23. In Leviticus chapter 23, he says this, beginning at verse 39. On exactly the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the crops of the land. So again, this is a harvest feast. When you have gathered in the crops of the land, you shall celebrate the feast of the Lord for 7 days, and a rest on the first day, and a rest on the eighth day. Now on the first day, you shall take for yourself the foliage of beautiful trees, palm branches and boughs of the leafy trees, in willows in the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall celebrate it as a feast of the Lord for 7 days. It shall be a perpetual throughout your generations, so you shall celebrate it in the seventh month. Verse 42, you shall live in booths for 7 days. All the native born in Israel shall live in booths. Here's why. So now we're getting to why are we doing this? Well, to be thankful for the harvest that just come in. And why are we living basically in tents? This is like a national camp out. Why are we doing this? Verse 43. So that your generation may know that I had, God is speaking, the sons of Israel live in booths. When I brought them out from the land of Egypt, I am the Lord your God. He says, I want you to remember how I took you from the land of Egypt, got you through all the way to the promised land, and how you lived basically as nomads. You didn't build houses because you were on the move. And it's a way for us to remember what God has done and to be thankful for what God has done. You remember that when we were in, now back to Deuteronomy, how in Deuteronomy 8, he reminded them that on that entire trip, Deuteronomy 8:4, your clothes did not wear out on you. Now, how would you like to have to wear clothes every day for 40 years and not have them wear out? Not bad. Your foot did not swell for 40 years. All of you with bad feet or knees or whatever, I mean, you didn't have for 40 years, you think, yeah, you know, for all that time, man, I never had a footache or, man, I'm wearing the same coat. Look, God did that. And they were to remember that. So now, why do we need a feast to remember? Don't you, I mean, doesn't it make sense that you would just do that? Right? Doesn't it just make sense that when somebody does something great to you, you say thank you? I mean, I was raised that way, so I say thank you basically for everything, but it amazes me how there's people who never say thank you. And it's like you're sitting waiting, and maybe you didn't do it to have somebody say thank you, but I'm so used to having people say thank you. When it's not there, it's like, well, where is it? Why would we ever get to a place where we're unthankful? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because the answer is in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now, we've been over Deuteronomy chapter 8, so maybe you even thought of it yourself. Listen to this. God's given this instruction, verse 11, because he knows us. You know, wherever I read Psalm 139, it's both a blessing and a curse in the sense, because it says God knows you. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're going to think. He knows what you're going to do. He knows why you're going to do it. He knows what, before I get up, what I'm going to do. And so that's a blessing in the sense, is God's taking care of me. But I say it's a curse in the sense, oh my goodness, because see, we hide things from other people and we think nobody knows. God knows. And the great thing is, he still loves us. But he knows us. So he's giving us this Thanksgiving feast, in essence, to encourage us to give thanks, because we may forget. Oh, we're not going to forget the football game or whoever your team is, we're not going to forget the meal, because either you like turkey or you don't, or all the stuff that goes with it and the pies. I mean, you may not forget that. You may not forget family coming together, but you may forget the purpose why. Deuteronomy 8, verse 11, beware. So they got to be, this is something's got to be on your mind, because as a human being, and remember, God calls us sheep, and what's one of the characteristics of sheep? We wander. So beware that you do not forget the Lord your God. How in the world can I do that? Well, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I'm commanding you today. Well, why would I do that? Otherwise, verse 12, when you have eaten and are satisfied, when you have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, so you are sitting, pardon the expression, fat, dumb, and happy. Man, this is awesome. But verse 14, then your heart will become proud. And that's exactly what happens. And you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. You will forget that he led you through the great and terrible wilderness with his fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground, which where there was no water, and he brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness, he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the land. Otherwise, you will say in your heart, well, watch this, my power and strength, my hand made me this wealth. You have forgotten God, and you're just enjoying all the stuff that God gave you, and the tendency of your heart is to say, ain't I good? Look at this. You can say, my power did this. But you shall remember the Lord your God, verse 18, for it is he who has given you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant with which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. So I'm going to give you this feast, all the feasts. And as you go through, we read Psalm 100, they were always to be giving thanks. Because you see, as you give thanks, you're remembering, because you're giving thanks for something to somebody. I don't think anybody just gives thanks to mention the word. I mean, what is it? T-H-A-N-K, a six-letter word. I guess if you need a six-letter word for a crossword puzzle, thanks would work. But there's a reason, usually, that there's, you know, you give thank you. We are thankful to Sharon for bringing donuts, right? I mean, we could thank just Sharon for just being Sharon, which is legitimate, but there's a reason. And so we need to be reminded, all this stuff you have, he's telling Israel, came from God. In fact, the only reason you got out of Egypt was because God got you out of Egypt with the 10 plagues. So it's like, who in the world do we think we are when we get to be ungrateful? Gets worse. But you shall remember that the Lord did this for you. Verse 19, it shall come about that if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. What will happen is if you quit giving thanks, you start to forget about God, and you just focus on all the stuff you've done, and you can get this big, fat, swelled head, and pretty soon you've forgotten about God, and we were made in the image of God, so we're made to worship, so you're going to worship something. And here's what he's saying, is you're going to go off and worship other gods. And then you're really in trouble. So he gave them a festival, and I think sets the precedent for us. We should be giving thanks all the time, but isn't it great to have a special time? He says, I'm to give thanks. So as you sit down or whatever you do on Thursday, even if it's just another Thursday, thank God for Thursday. And if you have family, thank God for family. If you're enjoying a meal, thank God for the meal. And think back to all that God has given you. Now, I got to this point, and I'm thinking, okay, how does remembering God as I give thanks help me? Let me give you three reasons, and then we'll close. Number one, keeps me humble. It keeps me humble. It helps me remember that all of this I got from God. I've been thanking God a lot because obviously I'm thinking about Thanksgiving and thinking about yesterday, you know, I had a specific prayer God answered. The day before I had a specific prayer God answered, you know, and you think about that. Think about all the times God has taken care of you and I just say, thank you, Lord, thank you. It keeps me humble because I know that He did it. We read Psalm 100. We didn't make ourselves, He did. We read Psalm 92, where I'm thankful, God, all the things that you do makes me glad, makes me happy, and you did it. Man, if I'm left to my own devices, it, you know, typically, right, it's not a pretty scene. So we are so thankful to God. It keeps me humble by remembering all that God has done for me. Number two, and this maybe will strike all of us, keeps me sane. S-A-N-E. Keeps me sane from losing my mind. Because, you know, life can be difficult. And things can happen to us that we didn't anticipate. You know, we have all said, right, Lord, that was not my plan. What in the world are you doing? We look at the world around us and we think, our leaders, what in the world are you doing? And it can be very frustrating, and you could literally lose your mind. But when I give thanks, it takes me back to God, humbles me, and I go, okay, this helps. Let me read for you some scripture that kind of ties that together. We'll start with Psalm 143, one of my all-time favorite psalms, because, you know, I find myself here from time to time, and sometimes more often than I would like. Listen to what David says in Psalm 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my supplication. Answer me in your faithfulness and in your righteousness, and do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no man living is righteous. Pray that way. God help. Please help. Why? Verse 3, the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in dark places like those who have long been dead. You ever feel that way? Oh, just unraveling? I mean, I'm in this hole and I look up and all I see is dark, black. It says, therefore, verse 4, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart is appalled within me. I am literally unraveling. So what do? Verse 5, I remember the days of old. Thanksgiving. Oh, God, wow, you know, you did that, this, and the other thing. Thank you. And then, thank you for reminding me of what you have done. And as I remember and muse on the work of your hands, then I stretch out my hands to you. My soul longs for you as in a parched land. And I say, answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit fails, and do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. And let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you. And you can say, this is now. When I think about what you have done and give thanks, then it gives me the confidence to say in my present situation, when I'm in this dark, dark place, I'm saying, okay, Lord, here I am again. Now, please hurry up and answer because I am failing. You know, teach me, at the end of verse 8, the way in which I should walk. For I do lift up my soul. For to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies, because I take refuge in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground for the sake of your name, O Lord. Revive me, and in your righteousness bring my soul out of trouble. And in your loving kindness, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant. And when you work your way through Psalm 143, you will stay sane. It is amazing because you say, because what happens is now you have become or reacquainted yourself with God. And he's up there saying, I know, trust me. And I get done with Psalm 143 and I say, oh Lord, just lead me on level ground. What do you want me to do? And he's saying, trust me. You know what he wants you to do, whatever you're in? Philippians chapter 4. Yes, so you ask these questions, you can kind of wait for a voice from heaven, which would be downright scary if you really think about it. But then, you know, what happens, I say, God, lead me, what do you want me to do? In the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, if he's in you, even if it's not, he's convicting you, he'll remind you of Scripture. So he says, you want to know what to do while you're in this dark place? Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. You're in this dark place, what are you falling apart for? Do you believe me? I don't like it, Lord. I know. Just trust me. We'll work through this together. Be anxious for nothing. Again, what's left out of nothing? Nothing. You can't come up with something that you can legitimately be anxious about. Now, being anxious is different from being concerned. We are to be concerned about a lot of things. Jesus was concerned about the lost, concerned about his disciples. Paul was concerned for the churches. The word anxious here means a distracting concern, to where you're just falling apart, you give in, you are despairing. Life is it's over. He says, you don't ever have to do that. What do I do, Lord? In everything? Then you ask, what's left out of everything? Nothing. So in everything, by prayer and supplication. So I talk to you. Got it. With thanksgiving. We're back to thanksgiving. You start thanking me for who I am. You just thank me for what I have done. You just thank me for what I am doing, even though you may not see it and like it. And you just offer all of that with thanksgiving. That comes from a humble heart, because only humble people give thanks. That comes from a heart that is saying, God, I need you. And you do that with thanksgiving, and you let your request be made known to God. What's the result in verse 7? And the peace of God. You know, that's what you need when you're in a dark place, is peace. Jesus was in a lot of dark places. You think the cross was not a dark place? And yet, he knew God was with him, and he was at peace. He comes out of that garden spending 3 hours praying, God, I don't want to die. Find another way, but not my will, but yours be done. And then he comes out victorious, and you see Jesus with all that they're doing to him, which is horrific. He's at peace. Even the centurion, when he saw how he died, said, truly, this was the Son of God. God's peace will come and surpasses all comprehension. Because it's a mind-blowing experience. You go, how is this working? I have no idea. But I'm at peace. The situation hasn't changed. I'm still in the dark hole. But now I've given thanks to God. God has redirected my mind. I have my faith in him. He's with me. I'm aware of that now. He always was, but I've got my mind together. And, you know, I have peace. Surpasses all comprehension. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so he says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good of good repute, if there is any excellence in anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. What are you thinking about? When you give thanks to God in the whole, and you're praying and giving thanks, and that peace overcomes you, your mind is now thinking about God, not the whole. And that's how I stay sane. Then I remember, we don't have time to go through it, Romans 8, 26 through 39, where God's working all things together for good. To those who love God and work are called according to his purpose, he's conforming me to the image of Jesus Christ. He will never leave me nor forsake. Nothing in this created universe or uncreated universe or anything will separate me from the love of my God. Ever. And then I end up, you know, I look at this world and I say, oh, man. Help. Then God brings to mind a verse like this. Revelation 11. Let's go to the very end of human history. The seventh angel sounds, and there's a loud voice in heaven saying, this is Revelation 11, verse 15. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Wow. And the 24 elders who were on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, watch what they're saying now as they watch Jesus take over. And by the way, whoever, whatever your political persuasions are, whatever, no human being is going to fix it. The best we can hope for is control, manage things. Only Jesus is going to fix it, and we have to wait till he gets back. But when he starts to take over, the 24 elders in heaven are falling before the throne, worshiping God, saying, verse 17, we give you thanks, O Lord God the Almighty, who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and begun to reign. And the nations were enraged, and your wrath came, and the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bondservants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. I know this is coming. And so I thank God that there's coming a day where righteousness will prevail. And Jesus will come back and he will settle accounts. So God, hurry up and just help me be faithful while I'm waiting. So it keeps me sane. Thirdly and lastly, it keeps me focused. Keeps me focused. Giving thanks keeps us focused. You notice in Deuteronomy 8, verse 19, it says, if you forget me, and if you think you made all this stuff, you're going to forget me and you're going to start worshiping other gods. That's exactly what happens. You find yourself in Romans chapter 1, and it's not a good place to be. In Romans chapter 1, Paul tells us that God has made himself known through creation. It's evident, verse 19. Because since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse, period. I mean, very plain, right? When I walked out of the house this morning at 5:30 and looked at this really beautiful sky, and there's Orion shining very brightly, and there was an orange star up here, I don't know what it is, or a planet, and you just see, well, how did that get there? Or you look at a tree, or look at anything in nature. God says it shows you me. And here's the point, mankind knows that. But some, verse 21, though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile, their speculations, their foolish heart was darkened. Verse 18 tells us they suppressed that truth and unrighteousness, and God is angry. Verse 25 says they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. You're going to worship somebody because we were made that way. It's either God or yourself, or somebody else. We were made to worship God. So it keeps me focused. I'm to worship you, Lord. Whatever else happens, falling apart, I'm to just be focused on you. Help me do that. Help me to remember how Jesus taught us to pray. What's the focus? Matthew 6, verse 9. How does the Lord's Prayer start? Just the first phrase. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be, whose name? Your name. Thy name, or whatever. The whole point is, God, this is all about you. I am to worship and serve you. And if I give thanks all the time to you, that aids me and that keeps me focused. And if I forget to give thanks, I don't want to give thanks. Now I'm drifting away. I'm going to worship something, myself, some other person, or something, and now I've gotten off track. And then when you think about us as believers, we end up with 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 4, rather 14 through 15. Paul says, for the love of Christ controls me. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. That he died for all so that they who live may no longer live for themselves. You got that? We should no longer live for ourselves because Jesus paid for me. He paid my price on the cross. He has saved me. He's redeemed me. So I owe him. And now I live for him who died and rose again on my behalf. And I give thanks with the fruit of my lips. as we sang, you know? That's from Hebrews 13:15. Through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name. It's interesting. The word give thanks is hamalagao, to say the same thing as. So basically, we are confessing God. We are telling everybody with the fruit of our lips that God is God. And that counts for no matter what situation we're in. Right? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. By remembering him, he'll keep you humble, he'll keep you sane, and he'll keep you focused. Well, Father, I thank you for Thanksgiving, one of clearly my favorite holidays. And yeah, I do like turkey. But besides that, it's just the focusing on you. Because we all drift. We may not want to admit we drift, but we all drift. So this morning, Lord, we may be drifting. We may be in a drifting state. You may be in a state where you have drifted from your Creator and you have suppressed that truth and you've been living on your own. And God is saying, if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, don't harden your heart. If he's saying you need to confess your sin, you need to repent, you need to believe in my Son, what I've done for you, and give me your life and let me fix it my way, through the Holy Spirit, through the Scriptures, through believers that will help you. But just come to me and say, oh God, Luke 18, like the sinner, be merciful to me. Come and propitiate me, the sinner. And if that's where you are this morning, just cry out to God. Make this a Thanksgiving to remember. Say, God, this is the Thanksgiving I remembered and gave thanks to you, and you saved my soul. You say, I've done that. But I'm drifting. I've become like the children of Israel. I forgot. Oh, I'm giving thanks because I'm showing up for Thanksgiving. I'm eating, I'm watching, I'm shopping. But what are you giving thanks to, and what for, and to whom? So God, bring us back. It may we give thanks to you with a grateful heart. May we give thanks to the Holy One because you have given us Jesus Christ, your Son. And now, even though we're weak, we can say, in him I am strong. And even though we're poor, we can say, in the Lord Jesus, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done, let us give thanks. Spend a quiet moment. And if God is working on your heart, surrender. Whatever it is, he knows. And then we'll close with a song. With a grateful heart. thank you. Thank you. And may that be the expression of our heart now and forever, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.